So let's read the Rambam today. So Rambam says, I guess there's two Rambams. Gimel Yud Tes. I'm jumping to the end part of it. It says, V'cheinu ish einoy l'kadesh katana. I hope to at some point. Not yet, but to really analyze this Rambam itself and the whole structure of the halacha. But for the time being, let's be content with the end of the Rambam. So this is not the end of the end. It's not appropriate for a man to marry a katana. V'lo yikadesh yisha achirana. Nor should he marry a woman until he sees her, v'tiyakshir b'enav, and he likes her. Shema lo timsachem b'enav, lest perhaps he won't be pleasing in his eyes. V'nimtza migarsha, and it'll turn out he'll either divorce her, or shuchev yimav husona, or he'll sleep with her while he hates her. Okay?
It's a new halacha.
Okay, so it's a separate halacha. V'chein ha'esh is a separate halacha. Okay, good, so it's a separate thing. Funny altogether. I know the whole spring of the halachos is. I hope to analyze that, at some point. I mean, we didn't really go into the Rambam about Shilch Shalom and Kamosa. If you'll notice, though, he never says, like, universally, by the way, there's this principle out there in the Torah called Netzubayasim Shilcha. He doesn't say that. He does say it in the Perish Mishnayas, though. But he doesn't say it in the Mishnah Torah, to my knowledge. Okay. So again, so he says that a person shouldn't marry a woman without seeing her, and then Gimli attests and he shouldn't marry without seeing her, because it'll turn out he may not like her, and it'll turn out he's going to divorce her or sleep with her while he hates her. So, divorce her, I mean, the Gemara was not specific, it just said, Shema Yerba Dava Maguna Vitisgane Olav. It didn't go further than that. What's going to happen after he hates her? Didn't specify, but the Rambam does specify. Okay, they don't specify. And it's interesting, because he says, I guess you could have imagined that he'd divorce her, which is bad for a woman. Okay? Is it worse for a woman? Or a divorced woman is like a stigma. See, for instance, a Kohen can't marry a Grusha. And it's a man, it's less for a woman. You know, she's like rejected. There's an idea of a Grusha is bad for a woman. It's hard for a woman. So it'll turn out he'll divorce her. And or he'll sleep with her and he hates her. So the problem is, sleep with her and he hates her seems to be a reference to the Rami Sarabia, which is Usr. It's Usr. So it's a funny thing. It says, and maybe he'll end up hating her or sleep with her and he hates her. I mean, that's a different problem. I mean, if he sleep with her and he hates her, then he's doing something wrong. But maybe it's not an Isr or whatever. We'll get to it. But, I mean, why is he bringing that in? I mean, what does that do with her anyways? I mean, that's a different problem. That's seems to be like a philosophical problem or a halakhic problem or a... But vis-a-vis him, that's a problem. It's not just vis-a-vis her, that's a problem. So why not just say, like, because what did you think with the Skane Elav? I mean, how did you interpret it without drama? What would you have said? What's the chashash? You're right. So you'd think, that's why I think you would have interpreted it as that he'll be mean to her, or he won't like her, and he'll be obnoxious to her in some form or other. Maybe explicitly, maybe implicitly, but whatever. It's just... it's going to be harmful to her. If he doesn't like you, you can imagine it may not be pleasant for a woman to be have her husband think she's not pretty. But that's what you would have thought. But it doesn't say that. It says he'll either divorce her or sleep with her. Or sleep with her having, you know, and hating her have to do with the whole thing. You know what I mean? Just say he won't be nice. He'll be mean to her. He won't be so friendly. He will ruin the romance of the marriage. I don't know. Something like that, you know. It's just funny he's getting... he's like bypassing the ordinary way to understand it, you know. So the Rambam, I think is referencing. So let's digress to this Rambam, which he's referencing. This thing of at least the sleeping with her part is in Isurei Bia Peret Chaf Aleph Halacha Yud Beis. Okay, so it says V'chein Asu Chachamim. So the Chachamim asked to sleep with a woman while you're thinking about another woman. Okay? Nor to have bia while you're drunk. You or her, I guess, are drunk. Nor from a fight while you're in a fight. Nor from hatred. Nor to force her to have bia. Nor when one of them is excommunicated. Do you have velo or velav?
Velo.
Okay, so there's a typo here. V'lo yavo aleha achar shegamar b'liba legarsha. Nor should he sleep with her after he already decided to hate her, to divorce her. Okay, maybe he doesn't hate her, he just doesn't want to be married to her anymore. So that you can't do that either. And if you do, habanim einim hagunim. The sons are not going to be good. Hagun, proper. Elam hem azeponim, some of them will be brazen. Mehem mordim uposhim. Some of them will be rebellious. And, yeah.
About the daughters.
Daughters. You're right. It was only banim means both.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sons and daughters. So this is interesting halacha, right? So you see, by the way, though, it's asur to have bia from zina, mitoch zina, to sleep with her while you ate her. Right? It's asur to do that. So therefore, it's funny that the Rambam is referencing this issa. I mean, so if you marry her without seeing her, maybe you're going to end up violating this issa. I mean, that's a different problem. Right? This is a different problem. I mean, you're not going to buy this issa. I mean, the whole thing, it's like, why is he bringing that in? I mean, he's talking about v'halter echlocha. You're gonna hate her. You're gonna divorce her. I understand, but and then you sleep with her while you hate her. What is that? Why is that fitting into? It seems that that comes under a larger category here of all these things. But I guess to digress, let's maybe figure out what these things are. Like, what's the if you had to define this halacha? What's the unifying idea in this halacha? Right, I mean, the Rambam seems to be creating one category here. Sounds like it. It's one halacha in yours, I hope?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Right, so what's this idea? I mean, there's like seven things or something, right? You shouldn't sleep with her when you're thinking of someone else. Drunkenness, fighting, hatred, al-karcha, menuda, and the libo lagarsha. Seven things. So I was thinking about this halacha, kind of like what Daniel and Yehuda were saying, that that the idea is that the realm of sexual should be part of the relationship, of marriage. Okay, it's a part of love, whatever the marital situation. Sex is a component of the marriage relationship, and the marriage relationship is a good institution, and it's important at least in terms of having kids and having good kids, and all, you know, that's the whole dynamic. It's Kedusha. So the nature of Bia should be a component of the relationship, of their relationship. It should not just be like a purely physical activity. Is that just to satisfy your physical desire for sexuality. Rather, it should be a component. Of course, there is that element. There has to be that element, but it should be a component of a relationship. So, for instance, like let's say you let's do the last one. Like if you plan on divorcing your wife, so it's not part of a relationship. There is no relationship. You're about to divorce her. So why are you having beer? Oh, so the answer is because of the pleasure, because of the physical pleasure. And I think with all these things is let's go through them. So you're thinking about another woman. So you think about another woman, it means you really. So, what are you using your wife for, or this woman for? Just for this, the physical component. You think about another woman, but you can't. That woman isn't there for you to have beer with. So, you do is you have beer with this woman, and you think about the other woman. So the role certainly not advancing your relationship with the woman you have a beer with. I mean, that's on the contrary. You're involved in the other woman. So, it's purely just using it. The mice of beer is totally a physical thing. Or mitoch shichros. Shikr, it means is because there's no relationship when you're a shikr. A shikr is like totally your mind is off. It's not your personality. Your personality is gone. So it's just totally like a physical activity. Because when you're conscious, I don't know what degree, I don't know what the shear of shikr is, but it means like when you're really a shikr, so you forget everything. It's just totally for the pleasure itself. It's a physical activity, but it doesn't in any way build to the relationship because they forget the whole. You know, they're really drunk.
Is he
also it can be motivated by shikros. So it's not motivated by the relationship, it's motivated by his emotional, his strong instinctual state. But I don't know, I mean... That's why I'm learning mitoch, not to mean that's why you're having bia, but that's the state that you're in when you're having the bia. Like, because mitoch sinna, I said you're having bia because you hate her, that's just not a normal response, it doesn't make sense. But it means you're having bia while you hate her. So why would you have bia while you hate her? You hate her! Oh, because she's still a tool of your physical pleasure, of the sexuality. So that's the same thing. or mitoch mariva, you're fighting with her. So if you're fighting, there's no relationship, there's no emotional, it's not part of building a relationship in any way, you're in a fight. But bottom line is you feel like you want to have bias, so you might as well, look, we'll put the fight aside for a second, then be able to satisfy your pleasure, and then have bias. So you can't do that. Or to force her. You know, that's certainly, again, that's contrary to the relationship, to building a relationship, that's purely because you just want to have the bias. Or menuda. So menuda is also good, because when you're menuda, you can't, I guess you can't have a relationship with someone. They're excommunicated. You're not really allowed to have interpersonal dealings with the person. But I guess technically it wouldn't violate nidoy. Because I mean, I don't know. I'm not in the halachah of nidoy. What I'm saying is the bia certainly is not going to be part of building a relationship there, because it's also they're in a state where it's removed from building a relationship. So it's just a physical thing. Or is that all of them? Yeah, or if you want to divorce her, as we did, right? And it says if you do this, and I guess you have to think into this a little bit more. But I guess the saying is this characterizes the whole nature of their interpersonal, their relationship is purely one of the sexual and not one of a love and of a, you know, of a interpersonal relationship. So then that's going to affect the kids. How exactly? I mean, it's a mistaber, but I guess you could go into why how exactly it affects the kids. Yeah, I mean, it says. Danny's asking, so what's the problem? What's wrong with that? I mean, a person has physical needs, and what's wrong to have bia? Well, and you have these because of this framework. So I'm thinking is that it is maybe that's the bia of an animal. That's not the bia of a human being. Because a human being is besides for even, I mean, as I guess you could argue has, you could say it's three components. Usually there's two, but there's three. There's the physical human being, like physical but body. And there's like the psychological, and then there's like yetzam alakim. You know what I mean? But the thing is that the bia of an animal is purely the physical action. It's a physical instinct. There's no psychological cue. I mean, I don't think. I don't know. But they don't have like the love or the, you know. And it doesn't have that framework. But the bia of a man and a wife doesn't, even putting aside the philosophical objective of puravu. But a human being is more sophisticated than an animal. He's not purely a physical body, but it's part of a relationship. There's an idea of a relationship. And the bia of a human being exists in the context. It's not purely a physical action, but it's in the context of a relationship. And I guess, of course, also, I mean, it's involved in all three. I mean, also it's involved in terms of bia, the relationship is one of kedushin or one of, Mitz Ono or Peruvu or, you know, some of the, in general, it's going to have that also. But the idea, though, as I would say, is that the bia, which is purely physical, is just not, it's not a human activity. And that's wrong. So it's true you have a need, so satisfy the need through a human bia, which means where the entire human being is involved in it. But to just, like, regress to a pure physical action, which is totally removed from like an animalistic action, is wrong. Break up with psychological isn't psychological, because you're right, there's psychology of the sexual also. The physical has a psychological also. But it's not only psychological, I mean, that's, I'm grouping that under the sexual, under the physical. Whereas, of course, the physical, when it is for a human being, it takes on a psychological component as well, but essentially that's the framework of the physical pleasures. It has a level of sophistication because it plays into man's psyche in a certain way. But then there are psychological pleasures, like there's the idea of like of a relationship, of a closeness, of a marriage. That's a more sublimated type of a pleasure, which is the pleasure of interpersonal pleasure. Now that's not necessarily in Vachachma, but it's a different type of a pleasure. Which is more sublimated, it's the pleasure of the psyche, it's a psychological pleasure. Now, of course, the physical pleasure has a psychological component, but the character of the thing is purely is a physical action. But here, when the bio within a marriage or within a relationship it does cater to the sexual with the psychology of sexuality, but it's also a component of the higher sphere of the psychological human being. We could define it better. But. Because I'm saying, like, the psychological enjoyment of the bia is that I like having bia. That's the psychology. I love that pleasure. That pleasure, that physical pleasure is very good. And there's a cycle that may register in a person's psyche. But the psychological enjoyment, the psyche, what registers is that physical pleasure is good. That is the psychology there. Is in terms of the bia itself. But the psychological enjoyment of the wife, let's say, is the relationship. It's more involved. Like the psyche is more closely related to the Sama Elokim than the physical is. I mean, in a loose type of a sense. The psychological enjoyments are more sublimated. They're less animalistic. They're specific to human beings.
They attract you to the physical much less.
Right, they're right. They're more, in general, for instance, a person who's totally involved in arayos, or in, you know, see, arayos is like kedusha is removed from arayos. It's not removal from money or something. I mean, of course, the person who's involved in money is not involved in Torah. But it's more animalistic, so to speak. It's a human, it's a different level of human involvement. It's whereas he's involved in the psychological pleasures. But the Baal Taiva is involved in the physical pleasures. What do you mean physical pleasures? Also a psyche, but that's just the psychological opponent that my psyche says I like physical pleasures. I mean, but it's not purely a psychological pleasure. It's just that given that you're a human being, of course you have a psyche, so it registers on your psyche. But I'm talking about the interpersonal is a psychological pleasure. It doesn't do anything for you physically. It's purely, it is the enjoyment of the psychological kinship or whatever, you know. So that's a different type of an enjoyment. What I'm saying is that the sexual, apparently, I mean, this is the area to look into. I think about it more, but the idea is that for a human being should not be involved in the physical alone, but his involvement in the physical should engage his higher parts as well. And that could be like a chilagasa, maybe as a chilagasa, like an eating. So eating gives you is physically enjoyable to your palate or whatever, but also your full. It gives you a certain type of a svia. You can argue a certain psychological satisfaction, like a person feels like I'm a savea. You know, a certain type of satisfaction. It's not just a physical pleasure of the palate, but like a chilagasa means that there's no. It's just purely the pleasure on the tongue, but it's not in any way contributing towards anything. You're already full. On the contrary, in terms of your sustenance, it's bad for you. So it could be maybe that's Isra Chilagasa, you know, that Chilagasa. And that's purely just the enjoyment of the palate, but it doesn't in any way contribute towards anything meaningful. On the contrary, it's harmful. Okay, but it's something to think about. I mean, it's an interesting area altogether. Because, I mean, you could ask what's the difference. Bottom line is psychological is still not Sanalakim, so what value is it? But, I mean, you could say here it's because of Sanalakim, because it's Kedusha, but I don't think that's what he's saying. Because he's not necessarily even saying your wife. I mean, he's talking about your wife, but it's not saying, Asuchomim Shalei Shamesh Im Ishto V'Livim. Like, you could argue almost, it would seem, you could argue, that even if you were sleeping with not your wife, the Isser, you'd be better off thinking about the woman that you're sleeping with than thinking about a different woman. Of course, it's not record. You shouldn't be doing that altogether. But I'm saying the Rambam doesn't formulate it to sleep with your wife while you're thinking of someone else. At least my guess it doesn't. Does your guess have that?
No, yeah.
So Yishamish Adam Mitasa over Liba Machashish Acharas. Liba Mitasa Shikhras. You know, I mean, it does have Lo Yava Aleha Achashigimra Begarsha. But I think he's being generic because it's the same thing. Even if you're sleeping with not your wife, there's still, so you could sleep with this woman and be thinking about her and being involved in the relationship, although it's not a good relationship, versus purely the instinctual activity.
It definitely is slightly different. Like, I'm really
like it should. Like, you could argue, I mean, it's something to think about, but you could argue homosexuality is. I mean, it depends. I mean, I guess you could argue there's a relationship and whatever, but I mean, it's in this parsha of. I mean, the idea that there's a. I mean, just like purely like. Or bestiality, for instance, Revia. That's a good example, like Revia. That's like the toeva of the thing, because it's like purely physical with no kiyum whatsoever. It's just a physical pleasure. And you could argue so homosexuality is also in that ballpark, where it's the physical pleasure, but, you know, I guess it depends. I mean, you could argue, I mean, really homosexuals have really, you know, there is some sort of emotional, you know, but it's not. But that is because it doesn't involve the kedusha in any way. It doesn't have the peruvu or, you know, it's totally the physical. Even if it's physical and psychological, but it doesn't have the kedusha. It doesn't have the tzalal kiyum. There's no kiyum in it. So I mean, that's a question. I mean, this is interesting here. Is it that middle ground? I mean, definitely bia should be because of all of them: physical and psychological and the kedusha, tzalal kiyum, intellectual, whatever you call it. But I mean, here I'm claiming is that there's no isser to be purely for the psychological, but there's an isser to be purely for the physical. Like, I don't know, maybe you could create a case where there's no philosophical benefit.
But yeah, that's the next step. The philosophical benefit is like what you do with how you're set up. It's not like a mantra.
Right. Philosophical benefit.
Right.
It's true. I mean, it's true. You see, it's like a... Yeah, I mean, definitely see that the physical pleasures are different than psychological pleasures. It's not, you don't kill a guy about taiva because he's hooked on psychological pleasures. It's a different, thing. There's taiva, and that's like gaiva, or, you know, mammon, or it's a different type of a... It's more of a sublimated. It's more removed from the behemoth. It's like, You're right, like, that's one sort of pshat, I think. From, I think Rebbe said, but the question was by, Lavan. Yeah, that Avraham says, I don't want you to pick a wife from the Benos Canaan, but go to my family, you know? Go to my family. So who do you go to? So go to Lavan, you know? So is Lavan much better? I mean, Lavan or Rasha, you know? Also, basically, same thing by both of them, right? So is Lavan much better? I don't know, I think it was Yaakov. Yitzchak said, I can't, do not go to Benos Canaan, go to my family, you know? Or go to you know, to Lavan. So the question is, what's so great about Lavan? Lavan or Russia? Well, you know, this is some great guy who was maybe better off by Canaan, you know? So I think I said there's two kinds of rishas. There's a risha like Canaan is like totally instinctual. It's like, about Zara and primitivism. And so that type of a person is like a behemoth. He says that person has no potential even for greatness because the person is like is simply totally steeped in their whole animalistic nature. Mm-hmm. But Lavan is a guy who is sublimated. You see, he wasn't to be a good Rami, is to be able to be thinking and making controlling your instincts. Now it's true he was a Rasha because he was a Bochar Bara, but he had that type of a personality, has the ability to be a great person. You know what I mean? Because what? Basua?
Yeah.
What about him? Definitely not more, he could be more evil. I'd say he's a share of evil. Maybe a real type of Russia. And presumably Hitler was that kind of guy. Also, he had the ability to control himself when it's necessary. That's like the difference of Haman versus Ahasuerus, right? And Haman was that. Ahasuerus is Baal Taiva. At least this is according to the old tapes. Things might have changed over the years. But Ahasuerus is Baal Taiva, and Haman was this kind of a guy who could sublimate himself and hold out for the big kill. You have to be able to control yourself. So I'm going to say that's worse. Haman's worse. But he's not marrying Lavan, he's marrying Lavan's daughter, but he says that from that family, you're not going to have greatness coming from the Baal Taiva. From the person who can control himself, he could, doesn't say Lavan's grandchildren or Tamei Dechamim? I mean, Haman's grandchildren or Tamei Dechamim? I think it's not like that. I think so. But I mean, that type of person is a great person. A great person could be a Bochar B'Tav, Bochar B'Rah. But a person who's too steeped in the instinctual is, like an animal. So saying there's a difference between the psychological. The psychological is the ballpark of the perfection. It's not, it's removed, but it's, you know. Okay. So it's not an area to think about. It'd be interesting to think about to pursue this further. It's interesting. That's what I'm saying. I intuit the distinction, but I mean, you push the point, it becomes a little bit vague. So it's something to think about. But I think you intuitively sense the idea, but it'd be good to define it a little better. Okay, so this is the Isser here. Okay, so the Isser is to have be a totally a sexual via, you know, totally a physical via. So okay, so now back to the woman, back to the case of the marrying a woman without seeing her. So what I'm saying is that what's going to happen? Maybe you're going to hate her, right? Because you're not going to like her, and you're going to have two options. So either what's going to happen? Either basically you're going to say, listen, I can't deal with this, and you're going to divorce her, or you're going to say, I could deal with this, and you're just going to use her as a sexual object, right? Which is another option. A man may be willing to do that. Maybe he has another wife for love and whatever. Maybe he's whatever. He could deal with it. He'll just use her as a sexual tool. So it depends. I mean, that's a personal. Those are the two options. That's what's going to happen. He doesn't love her, okay, because she's not attracted to her. He thinks she's ugly. So he doesn't love her. So now either he's going to say she's worth it as a sexual tool, and she's going to stay married. He's going to stay married to her, which is terrible for her, because she's basically going to be just a sexual object, which is the worst. That's very bad. It's bad for her. She's not going to appreciate that, you know. And in terms of after Kamocha, certainly. I mean, that's certainly against her need, like her need for Ona. And the contrary, I think even the Ramban says, they tell you like the Ramban Sheikhs is known are all in their sexual area, like to treat her, to sleep on, to be with her on a bed, and to be with her and there are tons. I mean, different. I forget the details, but also without no clothes on, no clothing on. Like he says, like, so she shouldn't be like a prostitute. So you see, a woman psychologically doesn't want to be looked at as a sexual object. He wants
what's
to. She, I don't know. He learns all three. You gotta look at them. It's Ramban al Torah. But he basically is like psychologically, a woman doesn't want to feel like a sexual object. She wants to feel loved. So she's looking for. She's not looking for just a physical. I mean, a man could be happy. A man could get more pleasure out of purely just a physical physical view without the psychological, without the love. He could tolerate that, and that's possible. But a woman is looking much more for the psychological. So the thing is, a guy may decide to tolerate it, and then she's going to be stuck. Or he may say it's not worth it, and he's going to divorce her. Either way, that's bad fate for the woman. Okay, those are the two fates. So why is the guy going to marry this woman? Like, why is the guy going to marry the woman? If he has an opportunity to do it with a shliach or not with a shliach, so why is he doing it? Maybe he's not going to like her. Maybe she's going to be ugly.
So
come on, he'll take a chance. Look, worst comes to worst, either maybe I'll stay married to her anyways. Worst comes to worst, they get a sexual object. Or I'll divorce her. Or a former, maybe I'll like her. But you're taking a chance at your own expense, her expense. So they're saying that's what's the lack of after Echamacha. You know, that's the undermining of the Kedusha, of the Chuppah, of the Sherek Sona, which is the Mishpat Habanos, which is basically you're taking a chance at her emotional expense. You know, so the Rambam is saying is that maybe you're going to divorce her, maybe you're going to sleep with her or you hate her. He's not saying because maybe you're going to be over the Isser Durabanon of doing that. I mean, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about because of the Hatera Chamocha. I mean, that's his Rabban. Apparently, the Rice has no Isser like that. We mentioned it before. It's philosophically wrong, the Rabban and Asir. Apparently, I mean, that's how you get to go through the parak about what the Rabban stepped in and did. But apparently, it's that physical via is not Asir the Rice, the Rabban and Asir. It's wrong, the Rice. It's low level, the Rice, with the Rabban and Asir. But the Rabban's not saying, it's not like if you did that, you'd just be violating the Isser the Rabban. Or a low level. It's a lack in the very Kedushin itself. That's what's an Isser in Kedushin. Of course, if you have that Bia, that's Asr. But he's saying is that doing Kedushin when the outcome is likely or it's a good chance that it's going to result in this is a lack in the Kedushin. It's a lack in the Ratzach Mocha, which is internal lack in Kedushin. So he's not saying because it's like a Gezerah against violating that Isser Darabanan. It's like Gezerah. I mean, the whole thing is far-fetched. He means it could be you'll do that. Hi, the Torah asks you've been doing that. I mean, the Rabban Asr, I don't know. This is even primary, prior to this. This is even in the Doraisa, you're not allowed to do this. So the Rambam, I think the reason why the Rambam mentions this thing is because he wants to show you the mindset of the guy who's doing this Isser, why it's wrong. Because that's why it's not proper to do this, because that's what the guy's thinking. That's part of it in the back of his mind. That's what he's thinking, which is exactly the mistake, and that's what's undermining the Kedushin. You know, since it's a woman, on the other side, a woman's allowed to get married even if she doesn't see the man because Tav Mesav Tandu. So on a basic level, means that for a woman, she wants to be married, she gets some pleasure out of being married and being in a relationship, and even if the man isn't necessarily so good looking or whatever, it's worth it anyways. She'll have her needs taken care of. She'll be loved. She'll have shekhsos and ona, and she'll have the security of a being of a bias. And if the guy isn't so good looking or whatever, that's not as important. Sorry. I mean, you see in terms of, I mean, it's because of the essence looks. I mean, you see, for instance, you see that men, looks are more important to men than women, right? I mean, you never see like a general. You're not going to find a very good looking man with an ugly woman, in general. But I mean, the other way around, you could have. I mean, you could have a very pretty woman with an ugly, bad looking guy. I think in general, women aren't as into looks. And the idea is a woman could get over if her husband doesn't look so good. He'll take care of her, but in the other way around, the thing is a woman doesn't have to worry. That's the thing, there's a chazak, and we'll get into this, Tav Mesav Tandu. But, why psychologically? I don't know. So Rashi, there's one Rashi is interesting. It says, why don't you say that a woman isn't allowed to marry with a shliach, because then her husband isn't going to see her. Right? And she's not allowed to send her shliach, because then her husband is going to give the kedushin to her shliach, and the husband's never going to see her. So then he's going to hate her. Right? So why don't you say that? So Rashi says, Enochanami, you're right, that she shouldn't do it because of that, but that's not from her framework, that's just also from his framework. And this is just talking about, and so far as she is concerned, she could be Miskadesh Ba'u B'Shlucha. But you're right, in Echlami, if he didn't see her, then it's going to be, then there's a sad problem, right? That's what Rashi says, basically. I think I'm really, it's talking about her, so it's talking about, it doesn't make sense to say by her that she shouldn't use a shlich because of the Yisra of the husband. Because that's not, but in Echlami it's wrong. But I would just ask a question, perhaps you could ask, is that if she sends her shliach, so isn't she mochel? Like, what's the problem? What he's saying is really an echonami. The husband's not allowed to give it to her shliach. Even if she sends a shliach, or she's not allowed to send the shliach, why isn't she allowed to send the shliach? She's just saying, I don't care. It's worth it for me. So why, like, why is the whole list about mochel, so then why is she mochel? So what's the problem? I understand if he sends his shliach, so then you say she's a... Then he's like kind of initiating the situation, but here he's coming to marry her, and she sends a shliach. So now he's not allowed to give it to the shliach. It seems that he's not. It sounds like he has to go to her. So I'm just wondering why don't he say that she's malchol?
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll do that next time. But then the Gemara is another big problem. The next Gemara says you're not allowed to marry your daughter when she's a katana. It says why? Because you're not allowed to do it because until you're not allowed to marry her until she grows up and says b'ploni ani rotza. Until she decides on the guy. When she's a katana, maybe she's not going to be happy. So this way, you have to wait till she grows up and then marry her off. So the big problem, which all the Rishonim deal with, is, what do you mean, Tav Mesav Tando? So what's it mean, marry her off? What do you mean she's not going to be happy? You just said in the previous Gemara that women are always happy with who they're married to, because Tav Mesav Tando, Mesav Armalo. So now also you're saying that you can't marry a katana, because until she chooses and says, I want this guy. But you just said they're not so picky women. It's Tav Mesav Tando. So that's a problem. They'll deal with it. So there's a Tosos. Yes, Tosos, Asur, and there's a Rashba, and there's Elder Rishonim, but I just want to focus on it. Seems to me there's two tracks in the Rishonim. Oh, yeah, no, I want to do the Tosos Riha Zaken, I want to do, and I want to do the Rashba. Maybe not even our Tosos, I forget. I mean, you'll see, they line up in different camps, but Tosos Riha Zaken, I think, is unique, and I think I like the Rashba's explanation. I think he's in the same camp as Tosos. I mean, you can look at them. I have to check them out again. I forgot exactly. When Tosos the Rosh, the Ritva, the Rashba, and Tosos the Zaken, they all talk about it. But that's what Tosos. Yeah, Tosos and the Rashba. The first answer in the Rashba is the same, I think, as Tosos. So you can look at Tosos and Tosos the Zaken is right on the side of the page here. Okay, so I'd like to. I think that's what we could do next. Yeah, and to answer this question, which I just left off with, is that why don't you say she's Mocha? Yeah, I mean, I think you're thinking good, but.